Bless the Lord. Are you glad that you're here tonight? Do you know where you are? It's good to know. Tonight we're going to read out of the book of Zephaniah. And I'll just say I'm thankful for how the Lord has led us and how He is moving in our church to begin and produce an environment for miracles. I'm glad that He is confirming what we've been speaking and teaching and prophesying over. It's just wonderful to see. I'm glad that you're here tonight. Thrills my heart that you've chose to be here. And I feel, I don't know how to explain this. This weekend I've just felt a sense of urgency to move when you feel that presence of darkness trying to overtake. You know, some people, if they're not of understanding, they'll look at that kind of move and see it as somebody trying to accomplish their own thing. But let me tell you, friend, if I had stood still, God would have moved someone else. And if you'll sit still, He'll move somebody else to do it, because He'll get His will to come to pass. Even use the stones to cry out if we won't. So tonight we're going to go between the first, second, and third chapter of this book. A friend in the Lord sent me a passage, and it opened something up to me in a deeper way. And I thank God that sometimes when we're digging and searching and looking for the next thing, that God knows exactly how to get it and how to get your attention with it. So tonight, I hope that something in here gets your attention. The Lord has been ministering to me about trying to understand, once you are establishing an environment for a blessing or a miracle, how I as an individual can begin to create that environment in me. Look over at your neighbor and say, making room in you. Making room in you. And for a long time, in my unlearned frame of mind, I guess, most of my first years of serving God was based upon all that I could do. Everything that I would try to do, tried to do a lot of it. But I found that even when I made all the efforts that I thought I should make, that sometimes blessings didn't move and at the rate that I was expecting them to. But there was something that I had just not learned yet. There was something that I was leaving out of the bigger picture. Now, you have a lot of people that will make an effort to do something, and when they don't see God move, they get immediately frustrated and are not as likely to do it again, because there's something missing in that picture. And that is what God has enlightened me with tonight. And I'm going to open up with this. You pray for us. The Lord knows exactly who this is for. I have been forced to reconsider the relationship between judgment and blessing. I've always thought of them as opposites with no relationship at all. I would like to think of judgment as something that has little to do with me and everything to do with my enemies. And I like to think of the blessings to be everything to do with me and nothing to do with them. But I've come to the conclusion, church, that divine judgment and divine blessings are very closely related. We sort of alluded to it earlier at the beginning of the service, that the judgment of the Lord upon you is what they call conviction. He begins to speak to you about things in your personal life that He wants to adjust. And our pride immediately throws up a defense mechanism to see this as an attack on our personality, an attack on who we are as a person. And when we get that defensiveness, pride begins to set in to justify why we don't have to change a thing. So what we run into as we continue in this behavior, some poor preacher will come and visit your church and try to preach you something, and you'll get so upset and offended at what he's trying to say that you'll never hear him again and don't want him to come back. I preached it so hard before they didn't call me back again. I've been some places where I told it just like it was. They didn't call me back again. We've been some places and been under the anointing of God and speak a word of the Lord that he was trying to warn them. And then it was within a matter, I've seen this twice happen, within a matter of months after a word like that came to them, their church was either gone, broken up, or finished. Doors closed. And so I know that there is a time for his judgment. How many of you know that? How many of you also know that you're going to answer for everything that you do? How many of you know that you're not going to wait till when God calls you to answer for some of this stuff? We don't want to accept that. But blessings do not come
until judgment has come as well. Because in order for us to grow in God, we have to begin to make room or separate ourselves from that sin that would so easily beset us, right? It's so easy to want to come in and just obey Him for blessings. But then what obedience begins to do, it begins to start knocking at your heart and showing you something out there that needs to be different. There's been times I feel the presence of God. There's been times where I preached my heart out and begin to expect things to move. But Odiva, you know what happened? The Spirit of the Lord began to minister to me about things that needed to be different in my life. And at first I began to think, now God, I do enough. How many of you have been on that seat before? Now, God, I do enough to not have to deserve to have to change anything else. If I looked at it, everything that I've laid down for God, the world would see me as crazy. The world would tell me I didn't have to do that to be happy. The world would tell me that I could be satisfied by keeping it and still going to church. We have doctrines out there today that are teaching people it's okay to accept this way of life, this way of living, this way of compromising to sin. And as they do that and they look for things to happen, it's not happening. Amen. You have churches that are looking for the great revival when God's trying to cause a revival to happen inside, to cause them to want to change something inside. And here's the word that God wants me to give some of us tonight. That which He speaks to you to change is not something you can escape. What you escape is when you decide to allow Him to change it and the pain that comes as a result of being willing to suffer it. You cannot deny God when He asks you to remove something and say you will not and expect the blessing to be there. Judgment must come to reveal the things that keep us from the blessing. And when He speaks to us about things that should be different, chances are it won't even take $100 more in your life to make you happy. How many of you know that tonight? Because if that were the case, then I would just get all the money I had in the bank and give it all to you and say, well, I'm done. I don't have to do anything else. But money doesn't solve our real problems, does it? Because let me tell you, money is only natural. What you can do for people is only natural. But that which you wage in spiritual warfare provokes the judgment of God upon others. It begins to make them feel something they don't normally feel. It begins to make them think about things that they never would have thought about before. When the power of God comes, friends, don't be misled. It is there to minister to your life. And until you're willing to do the acceptance of God's judgment on things in your life, you will not reap like you could reap. You will not inherit like you could inherit. Because listen, Jesus Christ came and died so that we could be redeemed. He come and died so that the sins of the world would no longer have a hold on us. But He also come and said that when He left, that He would send a comforter unto us, that we would be able to know the way and know how to push off the things that hinder us. Had we not ever received the Spirit of God, we would never know the way. Had we not worshiped Him to know what the Spirit is, we would not know a single thing about what to do. So when we are looking for a blessing, all the Lord's wanting you to do is get in His presence. Because the moment you get in His presence, He can begin to speak something in you to cause a change to happen. Because here's the reality. What I desire cannot come until God's will gets in the mix. When God's will gets in the mix, you know what it does? It causes me to change my situation so that He can bless my situation. It can cause me to change the way I am as a churchgoer. Oh, Lord. I'm starting to feel it. It can change the way I am as a preacher and supporter of my preaching brethren. It can change me as one that sings and worships and to worship with others that pour out their heart. It causes me to be somebody that doesn't just look to what I want, but to look to what He wants. And as I look to what He wants, then He begins to have concern over my life. Because here's the deal. You only want me to come in and preach you how to get to the blessing, but I'm here to tell you I can only preach you to the point that God can speak to you, that you can begin to inherit the blessing. Because without the conviction of God, we cannot inherit those things which are goodly and godly and perfect, because you cannot have sin and righteousness to dwell in the same place. You just have to take your time on stuff like this. God's building something up right here, right now. We want to be an established church. We want to be on fire for God. We want to make a difference. We want to do this. We want to do that. We want the preacher to preach with fire. We want our Sunday school teachers to blow our minds every single week. We want the choir to blow our minds every single week, to get us to a place where we just come in and are able to enjoy ourselves and have a good time. But when it comes to that moment when the presence of God begins to move and He ministers to you about changing your attitude and you reject Him, then everything else that can go on around you doesn't mean anything, because until your heart can be light and open and free to receive of Him the way that He would have you to receive, then let me tell you what you're going to get. You're going to have a thief's blessing. He doesn't want you to have a blessing that's as a result of you enjoying it off of someone else. He wants you to have a blessing for yourself. But you know what that requires? Him to speak to us about what can be different. If you look back 1 year from today and you can't tell that you've grown at all, then you're not heeding to the word of judgment in your life. If you are no better today than you were yesterday, then you are not walking as blessed as you could be. If you're not heeding to when God would tell us to hold in a situation, be silent in a situation, to hold our peace in a situation, and we go against that anyway, then we have altered the course of the blessing that God even has in store for us. We're going to bring out a few of these things that the Lord tries to minister on and speak to us about. God's judgment is the means whereby He delivers us from our enemies. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 15 and 19 says, "The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy, the king of Israel. Even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. Behold, at the time I will undo all," somebody say all, "that afflict thee. And I will save her that halteth and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they had been put to shame." You want to know something tonight? You might think that arguing with somebody and telling them how you feel and telling everybody else how you feel and trying to intervene in something to fix it is going to fix it, but it's not going to fix a thing. Because you know why? Because that which you intervene in is only the natural. And until you feel the power of God to make you go and intervene in a situation, the best thing that you can do is pray that the judgment of the Lord will go and convict someone to see the error of their ways. Without that, we're missing something. Because here's what you see. Have people say, "I'm glad I'm saved." Everybody, hallelujah. "I'm glad I'm sanctified." Somebody, hallelujah. "I'm glad I enjoy His presence." Oh, that's wonderful. That's all good. Then everybody, "Well, I'm glad He delivered me from drugs." We're able to clap for that and celebrate that. But you know what came before the deliverance? I'm feeling the dance. A word of judgment over somebody's life that said that you had to get rid of this in order to be delivered. You have to let go of some things in order to have your freedom. You are only free because the Son has made you free. Until you walk in the freedom of the Son, then you are not letting go of the things that are hindering you. When you come in here tonight, I know things that people have done have hurt us. I know things that people have said have pricked our hearts to the point that we don't think that we can forgive, but until you're able to let these things go into God's hand, then you can't know what it feels like to be delivered. You'll not know what the victory tastes like until you turn loose of some things. I feel the power of God to tell somebody, you might as well let it go and let the Lord, because it will not come any other way. Oh, I fought so hard against the Lord before. I used to have a great love for the world's secular music. I used to write it. I used to play it on the road. I used to have a dream to want to go out there and make my living. I used to see myself when I was younger not going on to school, but going out and playing on the road, going and having a good time, living the dream, as they call it. And as I begin to come up in this thing, let me tell you what happened. The more that I begin to near towards what I desired out there, the more that my life began to lean towards destruction, because that which sometimes we desire to happen isn't exactly what the Lord has in store for you. I was in a place where I was in detriment and without hope in the world, and God spoke through a prophecy to someone in my family and told them that he would not have him. And I'm here to tell you right now, you might look at some of your family and you might see what they're desiring and what they're doing out there and think that it's impossible for God to move, but God, the devil will not have them, because if you trust in the Lord, he said you'd have your house. If you trust in the Lord, then he can still speak to them and move to them. If he could speak to the heart of Pharaoh, then surely I know that God can speak to the hardest of hearts in this world. If he can speak to me, then I know he can speak to you. But what are you going to do when God says, let it go? What are you going to do when he tells you to let it go and forgive them? What are you going to do when he tells you it's time to move on with your life? Are you going to sit there and say, this isn't for me? Will you go ahead and sit there and miss out on the divine blessing? You get, there's a difference in getting $100 your way and getting $1 million God's way. There's a difference in just getting a little bit of a portion and having a divine outpouring of the Spirit. There's a difference. When people need to see you, they need to see a difference. They need to see that you've learned to let go. They don't need to see every day that you're not willing to forgive. They don't need to see that you're walking with a chip on your shoulder. He didn't call us to be Christians with chips on our shoulder. He's called us to be made more than overcomers, my Lord and my God. When the devil would have sought to destroy you, God spoke to you and said, brother, there's a better way. When the enemy had sought to kill you with that temptation, he convicted your heart one day that that which would have destroyed you would not have been enough. Friends, when all hell would try to break loose all around you, the Lord comes with his word to talk to you about what should be different. You can reject me if you want to, but the judgment of the Lord will be on you one day, and you'll have to answer for that which you turned away, that God would have spoke to you to be different. If you enjoy me preaching, you know what you enjoy? You're enjoying a life that finally gave up doing it his way and finally made up his mind to say, God, I want your way above all that I would ever decide. Take my dreams and make them what you want. Take my pain and let it be a testimony. Let somebody see something in me that's greater than that which is in the world. Let them see a heart of somebody that was willing to let go instead of living in the past. Let them see a vessel that is worthy of the glory of God. If you've ever seen anybody that's been anointed, they had to give up something. I wish somebody else would come preach us sometime. I'm getting tired of Brother Jared. Oh, but there's not too many people, friends, that's willing to lay off a few things in order to receive the full divine nature of the anointing of God. Because let me tell you where it ultimately leads. There's only one or two things that can happen. You can choose to go the way of God, or you can reject it and go the way of Satan. He said there's only two masters you can serve, and you can't serve them both at the same time. He said bitter and sweet waters would not dwell in the same fountain. He's saying unforgiveness and forgiveness cannot dwell in the same heart. That means you can't be mixed up from day to day and hate them one day and love them the next. You've got to make up your mind like Christ did at the cross when he looked at all of mankind's sin and took the wrath that God would have come upon him to say, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they do. When Stephen stood in the midst of the stones, rather than running away, he said, Father, forgive them for what they do. You know what he was saying? I let go of my will and I received yours. Oh, I feel his presence. The Lord spoke to me and said, the way of a righteous man is hard, And I understand why. Because you can't get up and preach stuff like this and have the whole church backing you at the same time. Because it causes people to think about the decisions they're making on a daily basis. And it causes us to wonder if we're truly letting God in on all of the things we're going through. Because chances are, when a church service doesn't prosper like it should, the answer is we did not let go. Anything that prevents the ability to have movement is bondage. And bondage can only be broken by what? The anointing of God. And when the anointing breaks the bondage, you know what that's representing? It's causing you to turn loose of your fear, of your inhibitions, of the things that you feel like it you cannot do. And it causes you to be bolder than you would have ever been before. I am only a minister today because I heeded the word of judgment. I'm not a minister today because he blessed me with his anointing. I'm blessed today because I heeded to him when he said, "You're going to kill yourself with drugs." Amen. I've only climbed higher in his anointing when he told me, "You've got to change your attitude." Amen. Oh, we're getting into something now. Oh, you better scoot over on your couch because I'm sitting down. We have went through so much. And let the devil sit so close before we take our authority. Amen. Because you know what the devil comes to do in a word of judgment? Causes you to justify why I can continue to be this way. And despite popular opinion, I'm just going to put my heart on my sleeve right now. I believe that 100% of Christians should worship the Lord in his sanctuary. 100%! Because he didn't only go 98% of the way for you. Let me tell you something else. I believe that we should be 100% yielding to his judgment. Because here's the deal. Until he sees our willingness to yield to judgment, then our blessing is poured out in accordance to how we yield. If you only come 60% of the way with something, God loves you enough to let you have a blessing. But it's not what you could have had. So we go to visit churches today and they are famished. Most of them are already done and just haven't accepted it yet. Because you know what this is talking about in Zephaniah? You know what it's talking about in all the times that God brought true deliverance? You know what he moved for? A remnant. It wasn't no big large number, but it's remnants. And what Zephaniah begins to talk about is how he puts the word of judgment upon those that kept them from being a free remnant. And leads them to know that they are a free remnant and gives them words of encouragement. I want to make sure that I get to this before we lose our attention on other things. Let me read this to you. The reasons for divine judgment can be summarized in this way. And these are all in Zephaniah. God will judge those in Judah who practice pure paganism. He will judge those who will mix the worship of God with other deities. He will judge those in Judah who will completely reject and turn away from the faith of their fathers. That means if you grew up as a PK and then you reject the will of God in your life, then you have to answer for that. This is all in chapter 1 of Zephaniah. Those who choose to identify with the heathen rather than the people of God. You'll choose the reasoning of a drug addict to say, "I'm going to live this way," instead of acknowledging the truth that you know is right. Those who practice violence and deceit. Those who presume that God is indifferent about their sin, acting like it's okay to just continue to be that way. Do you know that sometimes in church services we have more alcoholics than we even do people that are clean? Do you know that we have people that are still in bondage to things that we think they're not? Do you know that there are people sitting in this place tonight that needs things to be different in their life right now? But let me tell you what happens. We ignore what causes us to have to change. When God told me that I was going to minister his word, you know the first words that came back? "I don't think so." You want to know why? Because I compared all of what he spoke against all that I knew. And I looked at me and I said, "I can't speak well. I'm not the smartest. I can't hold my attention on something very long. I'm easily agitated. And sometimes it's hard for me to stay focused in things." And I said, "God, there are so many other people more qualified than me to do it." And I said, "God, even my best is worse than the best that we could ever have." I said, "Some people's rags are filthy, but mine was just flat out bad. Lord, how could you use me?" And when you base everything that God speaks to you on only that which you know, then you're limiting the possibility of your faith. The day I finally turned loose and let him take control, I didn't used to prepare notes. I didn't used to study in any great detail. I would just come willing with little or no understanding of what I was about to say, and His Spirit would anoint every single word that came out of my mouth. I didn't even know where it was coming from. I didn't even know how it was happening, but He caused me to be somebody bigger and better than I ever thought could happen. But I had to yield to His Word. I had to yield and say, God, I believe if You say I can do it, that I can do it. So I'm talking to somebody right now. If He told you you can, then all you have to do is receive that you can. And He'll take care of the rest of it. He judges those who refuse divine instruction. Those who have ignored His warnings. And Judah should have learned from God's judgment of others, but she did not. You read that in chapter 3 of that book. He judges those in leadership who have abused their authority and forsaken their stewardship. While people get more worried about how many they're getting in the door, when they're more worried about what's coming in on the tithes, when they're more worried about and concerned about the business affairs, rather than having a primary focus of the will of God for all, then they are to answer for the things that they do their own way. And God didn't send me here just to be a good business person. He didn't send me here just to give people advice on what I think they should do. He has brought me here to enlighten you on the truth of His Word. And without the truth of His Word, everything else you can do will not prosper one thing. Not one minute of its time, not one moment of its opportunity. Let's read a little bit in Zephaniah 3. I'm going to read verse 8 through 13. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve Him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliance, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall mine bring offering. In that day shall not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me, for then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. Somebody say the word remnant. Shall not do iniquity nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. When we yield to the Word of God in its simplicity, then all the things that would have destroyed you are removed out of your pathway. When you have a present foe in front of you, He would not have you to go after that foe without understanding. That's why He speaks to us first. And as He speaks to you and you yield your environment, then that which would have come and found you vulnerable begins to change into something that works for your good. I wish that I could always come in here and preach things that are positive and uplifting and get us all clapping and shouting. But friends, we've all got skeletons in the closet. We've all got things we're too proud to admit. We've all got things that happen behind our closed doors that if other people knew, we'd not be proud of it. There's things we've said, things we've done that we'd wish that could never be made known. There are things that are to come, church, that without yielding to the Lord, we will not be prepared for the proper decision. Because here's the deal, and I'm going to be bold in saying this. There is not one situation, not one, where if you're following the will of the Father, that you would stumble and be identified as the failure. Not one. Not one. You might be the one that's most hurt. You might be the one that's most afflicted. But if you have God on your side, that which come to destroy you would be removed. You might come through this thing and be more hurt than you were before. But that which God said that He would bring would cause us to have peace in a situation that we wouldn't have if we had only done it our way. Because there are going to be people that do unexpected things.